During the lifetime of the Vilna Goren, this happens to be, by the way, this is shiur number 23. During the lifetime of the Goren, Reb Chaim basically took the most difficult shilas that came to Reb Chaim, he'd take it to the Goren. He wouldn't paskin them himself. The Goren was alive. So in one tshuva, actually, Reb Chaim writes that he deliberated on his own to try to solve a particular question, and he finally reached the stage to bring the matter, he says, to my teacher, he says, Mayri Virabi, as is my custom, he says, in all matters of a Sufik, after the Petira of the Goyin, when the Vilna Goyin passed away, so Reb Chaim never didn't have any more choice, he didn't have a choice to go to the Goyin, and therefore it was really up to him to decide any of the issues for himself. And he writes the following. Reb Chaim writes, for as long as the sun of our great teacher still shone, the sun was shining, the Vilna Goren was alive, he says, Reb Chaim says, I sometimes had the schus to set my words before him and receive his tshuva, to receive his reply. But now that the sun has set, the Goren is no longer alive, I have no teacher, and to whom should I turn? So is Reb Chaim writes. And as a result, the Goyin was no longer here. So the number of all different types of questions, people seeking answers and seeking Reb Chaim's opinion, steadily kept increasing and increasing. It started actually in the last year of the Goyin's life, when the Goyin already was not able really to publicly serve as he did till then. So already it started, the shailas used to come to Reb Chaim. And after the Petira of the Goyin, when the Goyin really was Nifter, the opinion of the Goyin's prime Talmud, which was Reb Chaim Volozhin, was really sought by people far and wide, everywhere. They had shailas, they sent it to Reb Chaim. And he actually, in this time, became one of the most prolific writers of tshuvas, writing tshuvas of various shailas of his daughter of his generation. One of the Gedolim of the time, Echosh V'Dayan of Vilna, the name was Reb Avram Abele, Passviller. It's very interesting, there was a controversial psak that Rabbavala paskind, and which has brought down the Chayodim. Chayodim, by the way, was also a Talmud of the Vilna Goyin. And there's a whole discussion regarding that particular psak. I'm just going to mention it, not the whole, because there's a lot of shurim have been said to defend the psak of Rabbavala. Everybody is quite aware that during the year, of course, when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, we say, okay, LaKodesh. But starting Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemeshuvah is supposed to say Amelech HaKodesh. Amelech HaKodesh is so essential that indeed, that if one said the Shemoneh Esrei, recited the Shemoneh Esrei, and you did not say Amelech HaKodesh, you said it the usual way, okay, you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, and repeat it. The Bible Apostle came out with a revolution in Psak, and he had a whole lumbus, which they still to back it up. On the first night of Rosh Hashanah, if you made a mistake, instead of Amelech HaKodesh, you said HaKodesh, Mr. Yotze. That was his psak. And as I mentioned, you look in the Chayodim, you see where he brings down his psak, and there's, as I said, a lot have been said about it to try to defend it, and many have defended it to try to explain the psak of Rabbavala. Anyway, so Rabbavala Pasval, as we're mentioning, who is a dayan in Vilna, wrote regarding Reb Chaim, he writes that his Torah opinion, the opinion of Reb Chaim, was sought on every difficult issue in practical halacha, halacha lamaisa, writes Rabbavala. If you take a look in the Haskamah to Nefesh HaChaim, of course, Reb Chaim's Sefer, so in the Haskamah of Nefesh HaChaim, there was another great Goyin, Reb Shaul Katzenelnbogen. Reb Shaul Katzenelnbogen of Vilna was considered one of the great poskim of the generation. Reb Shaul Katzenelnbogen describes all of Reb Chaim's halachic tshuvas. Reb Shaul writes, he said, they are true halacha, and he urged that they should be collected, all the various writings, that they should be printed. This is in the Haskamah to Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Shaul Katzenelnbogen. And Reb Itzele, who is Reb Chaim's son, actually, he sort of like remarked, and sort of like testified, and he said that from his youth to his old age, he became, he said, very, very prolific, and he wrote halachic answers to all of the greatest Rabbonim of our generation, and all were accepted as halacha lemaisa, meaning practical application was accepted. All the Rabbonim, when they received an answer of Reb Chaim, it was accepted by him. So, in one of the few In one of the few surviving tshuvas, Reb Chaim mentions that no bezin, interesting, Reb Chaim himself writes this, that no bezin would undertake to free an aguna in the area around Volozhin without having obtained the consent and the askoma of Reb Chaim. Aguna shilas are one of the most difficult shilas. Of course, it's predicated in a situation where it's supposed to be assumed that the woman's husband is no longer alive. To allow a nation's sister to get married is a very, very serious matter. And in any generation, there are very, very few who allow themselves to undertake the task of trying to give heter when it comes to the shilas of agunas. Reb Chaim himself writes that during his lifetime, any aguna shilah around the area of Volozhin, any rabbonim, everything, they would make sure to see that it's forwarded to Reb Chaim. And he writes the following, here's the Loshon, this is the way Reb Chaim writes. He says, our generation, he says, has been orphaned of sages. In his time he's writing it. Our generation, says, has been orphaned of ages, and as a consequence, writes Reb Chaim, they burdened me. What can I do? He said, they burdened me with the yoke of Pesach for the entire area, and they will not release an aguna without my consent. I therefore, writes Reb Chaim, see it as an obligation. I see it as an obligation to devote myself to the issue of agunas, and he's mispalel, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu save me from error. The error is that if you're passing the agunas allowed to get married, and it turns out that the husband is alive. And if you go throughout history, things of that sort has happened after tshuvas were written to allow an aguna to get married, and it turns out that the husband shows up. So Reb Chaim wrote that, may Hashem save me from error. I should not make a mistake. When I give a heter, it should really be a heter that remains a heter. So the interesting thing is that the Brisker Rav Revelvel, Brisker Rav used to tell about how Reb Chaim, he came to be the last word. How was it, Taki, that he became to be the last word in all cases of agunas? What brought it to that point that he became the last word? The Brisker Rav would say the following. He had the Kabbalah of this Maisa. The Brisk, of course, comes from Volozhin. Yeshaber, the Zayid of the Brisk, Reb Chaim's father, was in the time of the Netziv, was also one of the Rosh Yeshivas. There was a big machlokes then, without getting into the details about that. So, any case, so the Vilna Bezin was confronted with a tragic case of a woman whose husband was away for a long time. Didn't show up, disappeared. And there was no communication from him. So a very long period of time. So with all the investigation, all the evidence appeared that he's no longer alive, that this husband is no longer alive. He's dead. So after a lengthy inquiry, so the Bezin decided to grant the woman's request to give her heter to get married. They did all the research that they can, and then using the halacha to see whether these proofs are good enough, whether the halacha recognizes these proofs. And so the Bezin decided to grant the woman's request that she's permitted to remarry. But before actually finalizing the heter, the Bezin sent a delegation to Volozhin. Is that seeking Reb Chaim's confirmation of their decision? Should be maskim. It should be the last word on it. After he studies the issue, Reb Chaim told the delegation of the Yonim that the truth is, I looked through your heter, I cannot find any fault in your decision. Chaim said, I cannot find any fault with the halachic reasoning, he says, of the Vilna Bezin. But nevertheless, he could not sign the document. Chaim said, I can't sign the document. So all the efforts that the Bezin tried to persuade him, you should sign the document. You agree with the tshuva. You agree with the bir halacha. Sign the document. Fruitless. We're not Masliya. They couldn't get him to sign the document to be maskim on the heter. Reb Chaim then went into an adjoining room, and he heard some sounds of sobbing. Reb Chaim, sobbing, crying. The Vilna delegation was astounded when they sort of like put their ear to the door to hear what Reb Chaim was saying to himself. And this is what Reb Chaim was saying. Mind you, I'm saying again, the Brisker Rav related this story. So according to the din, Reb Chaim was saying to himself, he says, according to the din, she should be given a release. She should be allowed to get married. But I'm convinced that the husband is alive. I'm convinced that the husband is alive, so how can I possibly sign the permission to allow her to remarry? Considerable time later, right, again, they tried to persuade him to sign. Reb Chaim asked the delegation, you know what, wait another day. Wait another day, because he tried to push them off. It was not easy, a lot of pressure. After all, he agrees that the heter is a heter. The next day, the woman's husband turned up alive. The woman's not thrown up alive. From that day on, the Dayanim of Vilna decided never to grant any Aguna permission to remarry without receiving Rav Chaim's approval. That was it. I can just mention to you, that there's a tshuva of Kiveger. Kiveger, as you know, was the shver of Chassam Sofer. And there is a Shaila Saguna. The Shaila Saguna, which was presented to Kiveger to find a heter for a particular Aguna. Kiveger goes through, and he says that the Shaila also was presented to Chassam Sofer, sent to Chassam Sofer. And Kiveger says, the Ruach Hashem dibur boim, reading the Lashon. The Ruach Hashem spoke through the Chassam Sofer. That what? The Chassam Sofer asked certain questions that was not directly negated to the Shaila. As a result, it turns out that the husband is alive. The investigation. Kiveger says, it would never have occurred to me to ask these questions. Chassam Sofer did. The Ruach Hashem dibur boim. Lashon B'Kiveger. It's printed in the Chuvos of B'Kiveger. The famous Yerushalayim Magid, by the way, would see in Yadler. Famous Magid, anybody of Yerushalayim that goes before the Magidim that we have heard of, Shalom Shadron and so on, goes before that, going to the Tkufer of Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld and so on. For the famous Yerushalayim Magid, Rabbi Tzion Yadler, he mentioned that there were some, how should I say it, disreputable people who are less than Erlich, who actually tried to make it appear that Rabbi Chaim made a mistake in giving a heter for Aguna. There's always a situation where people try to bashmutz certain Gedol Yisrael, and there was such a situation was in Volozhin, and it turned out that after that Reb Chaim gave a heter for a woman to remarry, they went around claiming that the husband was alive. They went around claiming that he was alive. Push it in order to clearly show that Reb Chaim made a mistake. News of the claims, when Reb Chaim heard about it, did not disturb him at all. His only comment was that he received a bracha from the Vilna Goyen. The bracha that he received from the Vilna Goyen was that he would never wrongly permit a woman whose husband was still alive to remarry, and if it happened that the husband was alive when the heter was given, he would die before the wife remarried. That bracha he had from the Goyen. So this is just a very interesting thing. So a little bit to have an idea about another aspect of the Hadith, like Rabbi Shemaisis, you know, talking about Reb Chaim, the Litvisha Welt, the story that you tell from all the rabbis. So Kastish Kastira, you know, if you have the Kray Chatoire, you can have Ruch HaKodesh and have all these great Madregas. Okay, so we go to the Ruach Chaim. It's actually Daf Mem Beis. You'll see it in the Sefer. Is the next Mishnah, Yoisi ben Yoyezer Yisraedo of Yoisi ben Yoichin Yerushalayim. Well-known Mishnah, we're familiar with that Mishnah. But Chaim goes on to explain this Mishnah. So it says that Yoisi ben Yoyezer Yisraedo Omer. He said a number of things. One thing he said is, Yei Beischo Beisvad L'Chachomim. See to it that your house becomes a meeting place for Chachomim. We need to say, Chachomim get together to discuss very, very important issues in the Jewish community, and there are different houses where they can go, where they might go. So the mission is to see to it, or try to see to it, that your house becomes a house where Chachomim come together. Your house should be a place, should be a meeting place for Chachomim. Yebeischo beizvad l'chachomim. That's the way the Rabbi Bartanur explains, Yebeischo beizvad l'chachomim. See to it, offer your house, push. Encourage, say to it that the Chachomim should come to you. See, bring these great Talmidei Chachomim to your house. So I mentioned that there's a very interesting pshat from Rav Nosson Gishtetner in the Sefer Lohiras Nosson. The one that says, L'chayri, Yebeischo Beizal L'Chachomim, is really it's not biyodoi. Because usually Chachomim choose a house, you have a Isha Maila. The Mishnah is talking about everybody, every Yid. You try to have your house be a Beizal L'Chachomim. The Chachal, Gevein L'Chanish Poshut, would not so easily have a schus that a great Chachomim would have to come to him. And the Mishnah seems to say, talking about every Yid, it's not talking about specific people, Yebeischo Beizal L'Chachomim, if you're not an Isha Maila yourself, it might be quite unlikely to have that schus that Talmid Chachomim come to you. What's the Mishnah saying? Yebeischo Beizvad L'Chachomim. So he said, very beautiful pshat, a different pshat. The shaila is, you know, a person has a house. And you ask him, what's your address? Where do you live? Well, the simple situation would be, if you live in the east side, you might say Grand Street. But what you should be saying is, that's my secondary home. My first home is where Moshe Feinstein lives, because that's the place that I try to spend as much time as possible. Your house, not Grand Street, should be where Chachomim are. That should be your Iker home. Your Iker home should be wherever Chachomim live. Visit there, spend time there, associate there. That should be your Beischa. Where you actually live, that's your secondary home. But your Beischa, but your house, your real house, where should it be? It should be Beis Vavra Chachomim. See to associate Avishaychis with Chachm Yisrael, with Chachomim. That's the first memory. The second one, it says, V'havi Misavig Be'ovar Ragleim. So Rabbi Tanur says what it means is, simple translation means, bask in the dust, right? The dust of the dirt of their feet. What does that mean? Rabbi Tanur says what it means is, you know, when a person walks, you kick dust. It means when Talmid Chachomim go from place to place, follow them. That's what the button word. Levi Misavig Be'ofar Aglayim. Ofar Aglayim means, right, when a person walks, so then he produces dust, produces offer. So the Mishnah is saying, be Misavig, right? Actually have part of it, be part of that offer. How you can be part of that offer? Because you keep following them. So you're going to attract some of that offer. You're going to attract some of that offer, Ofar Aglayim. And then finally it says, you should appreciate tremendously what Talmid Chachamim say. Vevishoyse b'tzomer devrayim. Drink their words with thirst, like somebody, right? Cold glass of water on a hot day. There's nothing more pleasurable. That should be. Vevishoyse b'tzomer devrayim. All right? That's a simple, simple translation. Let's take a look what Rav Chaim says here in Ruach Chaim regarding the Mishnah. Okay, so we start here. Yebeischa beizvad l'chachamim. Let your house be a meeting place for Chachamim. Rav Chaim says the following. You're talking in the Farish. It's possible to explain. Very fascinating words here. We know ki bemem ches devorim shatayru nixes behem. We have the Mishnah in Perik Vav, ki mevur lekamon. The Mishnah tells us not so simple to acquire Torah. We're talking about the shleimus of Torah. It said there are 48 attributes, 48 character traits, 48 midos. There are 48 midos that a person should have. Among them is anivis, a person should have patience, a person should have sensitivity even to the feelings of others. 48, a list of 48 milas, 48 dvorim, memches dvorim, shatoyim. And as a matter of fact, you know what the Balaam was born, this is Yimei HaSfira. Yimei HaSfira, you count 49 days. What's the 49 days? Because this is Achon of the Kabbalah Satoyim. So as Achon of the Satoyim, the Rebbe Yaplan points it out also, he says every day of the Sfira is a day to acquire one of the 48. That's for the first 48 days of the Sfira. Hopefully at the end of the 48 you now have collected all. So on the 49th you go over all of them. On the last day you basically review all of them on all of those midos that you have. So among the 48 midos, among the 48 dvarim shatayim nikras bahem, right, one of them is, it says hamachkim es raboisav, someone who gives chokhmah to his rebbes. Hamachkim es rabbis, of somebody who gives chokhmah to his rabbis. What does it mean, someone gives chokhmah to his rabbis? Says Rav Chaim, al yedei she'elois of acharifim. A rabbi says a shir, and you have a Talmud that's able to challenge the rabbi, so you have the give and take, you have the shakla v'tarya, the rabbi himself gains a lot. The rabbi himself gains a lot. Through the deep questions, through the penetrating questions, again, al yedei she'elois of acharifim, umeiru rab chishmat, so now the logic comes out clear. When someone's learning by himself, but he believes he's saying the right thing, he thinks he's saying the right thing many times, but unless he repeats it to someone, right, he's apt to be challenged, and therefore sometimes requires to rethink, and so on and so forth. So the Mishnah talks about someone who's a machkim as a rebbeisav, meaning is, he gives chokhmah to his rebbes. How does he give chokhmah to his rebbes? By asking penetrating questions. Now, so Rav Chaim further. V'nei ha'limud nikru melchama. We know that learning Torah is called a melchama. We find the Gemara Sanhedrin said, "Davkuf Yiralov Milchamto Shel Torah." When you have two Talmid Chachamim arguing, right? Pshat Na Tosis, Pshat Na Gemara, Pshat Na Rashba. Many times you go and you hear the tremendous, how the voices are raised one above the other. A stranger who does not know what this is about to try to find, what are they so enemies about? What are they fighting about? What are they screaming about? And this is called really Milchamta Shelter. It's a Milchama. I believe I tried to convince you, you tried to convince me, and so forth. It goes back and forth. It's called Milchamta Shelter. He says, if Limud is called Milchama, so the Talmidim are called the warriors, because they wage the war. In Kena Talmidim, Loichamim Yikru. They are called Loichamim. They are called the warriors, because they wage the war. They wage the war, they're engaging what's called, they're engaging in what? In Milchamta Shel Torah. Mashama Chachamena Zachor of Bracha, the Gemara says in Kedushin, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Lo Yavoshu, don't be embarrassed what you see, and that is, Ki Yedabres Oivim Bashoar. Sometimes you see that enemies, right? Enemies are involved at the gate. So Chazal say that this is a moshul of the Shiorim Siyonim Baloche. They are enemies. Really, they're enemies. They're not real enemies. You can have a father and a son, right? Who really love each other. But when they're learning together, and they argue in a Gemara, they argue in a Tosis, they argue in a Rishon, they argue Pshat in a Rashba, they actually, for the moment, it's like as if they are enemies. You can have a father and a son, or you can have a Rebbe and a Talmud. Nasu oivim zezem mami, they become like enemies. They ain't absorbing, but they don't move until at the end there's a meeting of the minds. At the end, the Yahava comes back. It's only temporarily. While they're sifting through, while they're actually plowing through the Gemara, the Tosis, and the Rishonim, and so on. Yeah, they are fighting. They're sort of like enemies. Now look what Reb Chaim says over here. Now I want to make it like Dhamma, even though Reb Chaim is saying it, but it's not for everybody to think that he can take advantage of this. Take a look what Reb Chaim is saying. For also loy le Talmud le Kabel divrei Rabbi kishesh le kushes aleihem. Hear this? Reb Chaim says, we're talking about a great Talmud. The Talmud is really a Talmud, knows how to learn. His Rebbe says one thing, and the Talmud believes otherwise. The Talmud should not. Also, it's a Talmud to accept what the Rebbe said just because the Rebbe said it. If he sees this, he sees it differently. Not saying Talmud's a nice thing. But also, right? From time to time, the Talmud will be right. And he's a Talmud, he's a smaller Madrega, so what? Okay, Moshe eats cotton, Mavlik Sagodl, right? You have a little match, which is a small piece of wood, lights up an entire bonfire. So you have a little piece of wood, right? Lighting up a lot of wood. So to a little Talmud, so to speak, a little Talmud, he's able to light up, he's able to show light, he's able to give illumination. To the Rebbe who's much greater, a little piece of wood is able to ignite a large piece of wood. A Talmud is able to ignite and to bring light and to illuminate. Says Reb Chaim, "Vizeh Shomru." So Reb Chaim, this is the pshat now in the Mishnah. Yibeis chor beis vav lechachomim. They have a misavik. What does misavik mean? Well, misavik means this, right? That a person gets involved with the dust. We said with the dust be'ofer agleim. Reb Chaim has another pshat, very beautiful. The word misavik has many different. Perushim. What is Mesavik? Simply Ovak is dust. Mesavik, where else do we find the Loshin? Vayayovik ish imoy. We find that they wrestled. Yaakov Avinu and the Sar Shalesov. Vayayovik ish imoy. Shu inyan his afkus milchom. It's talking about wrestling. Right? Confrontation. Vayayovik ish imoy means confrontation. Confrontation, there's a wrestling. Says Reb Chaim, Veve Mesavik. There is a wrestling between you and the Chachomim. Your Rebbe may say one thing, you have one thing, but you have another idea, you have another opinion, have a misavik. Misavik is Mizloshim Vayovik Yishimoy. Yes, you challenge. You raise the challenge, he says. And it says that's a Melchemes Mitzvah. You know that? It's Melchemes Mitzvah. Now look further. Yibetzchu Bezvar L'Chachomim. That applies to all times. What does it mean? Chaim says that many of the great Rishonim, of course, or all of the great Rishonim, they're not alive anymore. But nevertheless, by learning their Sfarim, we actually have them in the house. All the great Chachomim that we would hope that they come, right, and becomes our house, becomes a meeting place, by having their Sfarim of all the various different Rishonim, of all the great Gedolim, we have this Sfarim in the house, that is the Kiyum, that is also a Kiyum of Yibeis Chobizdal Chachomim. Our house is the meeting place of Chachomim. These are the Sfarim, as he goes further. V'chein onu, neged Rabbi Seinu HaGdoshim. Asher be'oretz v'nishmosom b'shmei morim. We're talking about our great rebbes who are no longer here in this world. The neshama is upmost up high. Hamechabrim hamefursimim, the great mechabrim, right? The popular mechabrim. V'sifreim utonu, we have their svarim. Hine al yedei asfarim asher be'beisenu, beisenu hu beis vav chachomim eile. Our house becomes a beis vav chachomim eile. So now, we learn a sefer. Right? What does it mean? It means this: we have the svarim of the great gedolim. So you see something, and you know what? You disagree. Have a misavik, yes, challenge misavik. You can challenge the svarim, says Reb Chaim. You can challenge it. He goes on to say, "Huzharnu gamkein." So therefore comes the Tana, comes the Mishnah, tells us, "The nitlon rishus lehis avek." We are allowed to confront the lilchoim b'devrayim or the tars rishosam. That's the kasha. Did answer it. You're entitled to answer the kasha. You're entitled to answer the kasha. And you don't show favoritism to no one. Right? You have to love the truth. It doesn't make a difference who was the one who said, but you have to love the truth. However, now, Reb Chaim said, but there's something to be careful about. I have not just given you a license. You can start disagreeing right with the Gedolei Yisrael. So all of a sudden, this can go to your head. You can think that you're their equal. And sometimes the way you say it may also not be in such refined language. As a matter of fact, you maybe you certainly shyness would come and be zoyin to those gedolim that you are challenging. Says Reb Chaim, Avim Kolzeh, despite the fact that I gave you a heter to challenge these gedolim, Yizor benafshoy meledabra begaiva. Be careful that you don't speak against these gedolim, it says, with arrogance. The goy levav, right? Yeah, with a stout heart. I found the flaw of what they were saying. That's what you believe. I found the flaw. I found the place to be chaylik. The yidme, and he'll begin to imagine ki gadol hu kerabbi. Begin to imagine that he's as great as his rabbi. Or ki mechaber asefer. Achu masagolov. That is challenging. The yedabul bavo. He should always bear in mind ki kam epomim loyovin dvora vekavanoso. He didn't even understand what the rabbi maybe said. You also have to bear that in mind also at the same time. So therefore, when you do challenge, you have to do it with extreme anivis. V'lachen yeh, yes, b'sarecho, you're challenging. B'sarechen, you have to do it with anivis, with humility. V'lachen yeh, ach banova yisere. Extreme humility. B'omer, by saying to yourself the following, because this is the way a person says, imeni kedai, even though I'm not really kedai, but you know what? Torei v'lumad anisorech. Shibaka wants that every yid should learn Torah, and therefore I have to see it the way that I see it. says the B'chaimah very beautifully. Now look how the Mishnah fits. V'zeh shomru. Misarechot have a misavik. Misavik means again you'll have to challenge. V'ayovik yishimoy. Keniskeleel, as I said above. Ach b'tnai be'ofar agleem. Rotzaloyma ba'anove v'hachnoa v'lodin lufneim b'karka. Okay, so let's look how beautifully now the Hemshich works. Your house basically is a meeting place. You have all the Sfarim of Gedolei Yisrael. That's the Beis Baal HaChomim. So now you're learning the Sfarim. And it comes out that you see something differently. Says the Mishnah, they have a Misavik, comma, according to Reb Chaim. The Misavik is a complete thought by itself. But the Misavik, go ahead and challenge. Go and challenge. How? The offer aglayim. You should feel lowly, down to the ground with extreme anivis. That's the way you go ahead. That's where you go ahead about it. That's the way that you do it. So that's one nekuda. Well, okay, I think Rabbi Isai, let's take a look at the sheet. I think, and it's just, we have very beautiful material over here. Yeah, the first part of the sheet is simply, as we see it, the Bartanur, how he explains the Mishnah, because you have to know the portion shot of the Mishnah to appreciate the other Perushim. Because the first item is Yosi ben Yoyezer Oymer Yebeischo Beizvad L'Chachomim. What does that mean? Hivshtadil Shebeischo Yisham Meshmokim. See to it that your house should serve as the place Lizvadusom Shal Chachomim Chachomim Meet. Shal Deikach, because if you have Chachomim in your house, you're going to absorb Divrei Torah. Divrei Chochma. Right? Shadikach tikloi direktoi v'chachomim, tidabik v'chachomim v'tilad v'tilmad b'halachisayim, and learn from their ways, from the behavior. Then it said, what does it mean that you should bask in their dust of the feet? Kloimar. What it means is, should follow them. Somebody walks, so he brings up, right, dust. Someone who walks behind them becomes covered. The guy in the front kicks the dust behind you. So one is behind them, you absorb the dust. That's what it means. Follow them. Go behind them. Follow them. And then it says, Shoyse b'tzomas devrayim. What it means, you should always listen to what a Chacham has to say. Hakshiv tovim devrayim shel Chachamim b'rotzen b'tshuke. Should do it with a rotzen, with a tshuke, with a desire. Like someone who drinks mayim mitar samoyim when he's thirsty. Fine. Okay. So now, we had Reb Chaim, we just learned now in the Ruach Chaim. Reb Chaim said, Alim bud nikru mochoma. He said, learning Torah is called a mochoma. It's a mochoma between the two opinions. And we said it can become very, very, he says, when you watch that, right, it can become very, very, somebody who's the bystander is not aware of what's going on, actually it's mamish or mochoma mamish. The Gemara says, melchamta shel Torah. Im kein, gama talmidim loichimum yikru. So talmidim are called loichimim. They are the loichimim. They are the ones who wage the war. Fine, that we're in. So to this we bring Rabbi Isaiah Chassam Sofer. Learning Torah, shaka v'tarye, challenging, give and take is called mochoma. Chassam Sofer said in the drush of Chassam Sofer, on Omot Tov Gimel, he said the following. Ta'amir ha'chomim, first of all, maginim lebal yishtot u'yidei Esav. Tachim ha'chomim are those that protect us from the hands of Esav. We're very familiar, ha'kodek ha'yankov, ve'idayim yidei Esav. So what are we being told? Chazal, right? The mancha ha'kodek ha'yankov, when Yaakovin was learning the Beis Medrash, ein ha'idayim yidei Esav. Fine. So Tamir Chom protect us at the hands of Esav. Ketzad. Now he said the following. Hine saroi shel Esav ve'edoim. Saroi, every nation, right? And we're talking now about Esav. The Saroi of Esav is in Shemayim. The Saroi of Esav is in Shemayim. And what the Chassam Sofer says, Humemuna ala machloikis. You hear that? The Saroi in Shemayim to create machloikis in the world. Who is that? That's the Saroi of Esav. The Saroi of Esav in Edom, Humemuna ala machloikis. Now, and therefore, we know we have no koich to destroy a Saroi in Shemayim. In other words, the Eef Shalom Oilam she is battle Mamshele Sar Echod. We can't destroy a Sar, but no, we can do. We can sort of reinterpret. We can reinterpret the Xeru what the Sar is trying to execute. We can't destroy the Sar. The Sar Shemayim creates Machloikis. We may be able to reinterpret what Machloikis should mean. His job is to create Machloikis. What does Machloikis mean? Says some cipher, we have the ability. She is hapech hakol toivo. Was supposed to be a negative machloikis. We can turn the gezeir of machloikis into a positive. Lochein al yidei pilpul atayra. By the fact that you're engaging in pilpul atayra, you have the give and take, which makes it appear like their enemies fighting. That's also mochoma. That's also machloikis. So you have spared now the world from actual machloikis, because you have utilized the melchamta shel Torah to qualify as a machloikis, said the Chassam Sofer. As the Gemara says in Kedusha, we just said, Pilpul HaTorah gives the appearance as if the two are enemies. Ki medayinim elu melu. They are challenging one with the other. So Bazoi says, Yochel Yisholim Biyolim. So now, because the melchamta shel Torah qualifies as a mochoma, you don't have to have an actual war. You see, the Sar of Esav is here to create wars in the world, to create machloikis. Machloikis wars. But if Yidin learn Torah, Tamir Chom learn Torah, so now the definition of war, the space, they have been occupied through Torah. And therefore, now, the actual Mochomis have been removed. The actual Mochomis, as he says. Because till now, the Machloikis that are enemies, right, would have had the ability to do it in a negative way, actual Mochoma, we have changed around, we have reinterpreted, we have converted the Machloikis, the Mochoma, into Toiva. After Yehovah Toiva, we took the same Gezeira, right, the same Gezeira, and we changed it. The actual Gezeira, Mochoma, Mochoma. Instead of real Mochoma, Mochoma Shel Toiva. Mamela Ein Yedei Esav Shoter. So the hands of Esav are not able to be shot, cannot rule. Vezeh Shomer Chazal. Tamir Chachome Ma'abim Sholom B'yoylom. That's what it means. New pshat. Right? It's not the Amir HaChomem, there have to be wars in the world. Sar Shal Esav is Mamuna creating wars. But every time you have the Amir HaChomem learning Torah, and therefore they have Mechamta Shal Torah, that's one actual Mechama less that the Sar Shal Esav would have been able to bring into the world. So the Amir HaChomem are Bishalom B'Olam. because you don't need now actual milchama, where people physically have to die and so on and so forth. This takes case. This really is substitutes for other milchamas. So far as Adach Sam Sofer. Okay, so we had again, look at number three now. So another chelik, what we have here, we learn now the Ruach Haim. What did we learn? The opening words of Reb Chaim, we said today, you're talking Lefarish, among the 48 things that it's necessary for a person, right, in order to acquire Torah, we said, someone who actually gives Chochmah to his rabbis, right, by presenting, penetrating shailas, questions. And the also loyal Talmud, Reb Chaim said, is also for Talmud, the Kabbal of the Rabbi, Kishiesh loy Kushis Aleim. Reb Chaim says, it's also for Talmud to accept face value what the Rebbe says if he has Kashis. Now, what we bring to this is, there's a sefer called Anaf Eitz Ovois, on Pirkei Ovis from Bavadi Yosef. Among the many Sfarim, not everybody knows, but there's a sefer on Pirkei Ovis from Rabbi Bavadi Yosef. And, interesting, Reb Chaim Volozhin Rabbi Yisai, to make a small agdama, so we're familiar with Nefesh HaChaim, right? Sefer on Musar. We're familiar with Ruach Chaim, also Musar, but it's on Pirkei Avos, right? But there's also Shailas Yitshuvos for Reb Chaim Volozhin, which is called Chutam Shulish. I have this sefer. Chutam Shulish is, like we mentioned before, Reb Chaim wrote a lot of Tshuvos in Lalocha. So there's a sefer called Chutam Shulish. Now, so Reb Avadya Yosef brings a quote from Reb Chaim. Can we just learn what Reb Chaim said now? Reb Chaim said it's also for a Talmud to accept Divrei Rabbah if he has a kasha. So Reb Avadya Yosef cross references and he says the chein kos avoid similarly b'shal zechuv is chutam shulish. Again, that's Reb Chaim Volozhin again. That's Reb Chaim Volozhin. V'zeh l'shoyne. This is what he said. Now, I want to make a small agdama here. That tshuva happens to be written to a great goyin. His name was Reb Chaim Noach. His name was was Berlin, who happened to be a Rav in also in Hamburg. That's after the time of Yonatan Eibschitz, also a tremendous goyin. And there's a tshuva, this correspondence between Reb Chaim Volozhin and this goyin. So Reb Chaim makes a point, as we in earlier Hagdomah's introductions, we mentioned that Reb Chaim, in addition to his Rebbe being the Vilna goyin, we said he was also a Talmud of the Shagas Aryeh. We also mentioned it was a Talmud of Rabbi Raphael HaKoyen Hamburger. Raphael Hamburger. But Raphael Hamburger is also buried in the Beis HaChaim in Hamburg, where Rabbi Yosef Eibschitz is, Rabbi Yankiv Emdet is. And Rabbi Chaim Noach Berlin is also buried there, as he was Rav in Hamburg, is also buried there. And the Raphael Hamburger, as we mentioned, Raphael HaKoyen, and the Chofetz Chaim brings him, by the way, also in the Sefer Shemir Saloshin. He brings him once or twice. He brings Raphael HaKoyen Hamburger. Reb Chaim says, even though he was my Rebbe, Rabbi Raphael Hamburger, a great goyin, but I didn't, in a particular issue, we did not see eye to eye. So look what he writes in the tshuva. Reb Chaim Volozhin says the following: Vavapi shani shimashti is Moiri. I was the Talmud from my Rebbe Moiri, Rabbi Hakoyin Hagodol Meyachov. I'm a Talmud of my great Rebbe Hakoyin Hagodol Meyachov, the great Koyin. Umechuyevani, on the one hand, I am mechuyev bechvoidoi. I have to fear him, I have to awe him. However, I am guided by what the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed. What does the Gemara say there? Two lines of Gemara. The Gemara says, if my Psak Halacha comes before you and you see something that's flawed, don't listen to me. Follow your own opinion. Again, can also piske the dina didi kamaychu. If one of my piske dinim come before you, v'chazisu bepirche, and you see something right that you can challenge it, then don't listen to the psak. She'ein l'dayin l'mashen avroyis. The dayin paskins according to the way he sees it. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin. Therefore, even though I am a Talmud of Moiri v'Rabbi Akoyin Hagodol, but l'maseh I can't agree. That particular child over there, I can't agree with him. I can't agree with him. And he says further, listen to this. This he writes in the Tshuvos himself. The Kvar whose heart in me pi moiri kodesh Yisrael ha'goyin rebel yom mivilne. I have been warned from my great Rebbe, from my holy Rebbe, the Vilna Goyim. Shaloi lisa ponim bo hiro. When it comes to Baruch Shabbos, don't show favoritism to anybody. Paskim the way you see fit. Adkan. And then there's another. Va'ayin oin. This order of Avad Yosef bringing this down. Va'ayin oin b'shal tshuvas m'shivas nefesh hayoshen. He brings there. Shekosav brings from a shal tshuvas m'shivas nefesh. Listen to this. Now, this is half of the fella. The Goyin Rabbosai took upon himself, even if he wants to disagree with Rishonim, would argue with Rishonim, the Goyin. This Machaber of the Shas of Shuvah Meshivas Nefesh said the following: Vomlam Yedati, I know, ki b'dimnaschem in your Medina, atem kruchem you follow achedivrei hagroim mevilna. I know, in your areas, the last word is the Goyin. The last word is the Goyin. I know you follow the Goyin. And the truth is, look, and he acknowledges, from the time of the Kadmoinim of the early Gedolim, no one as great as him, as the Goyim, nister, whether it's the hidden portion of Torah, the nigre kishuchanach lefanav. I agree all that, he's the greatest. But I like the truth. I'm going to argue with the Goyim. No? I can argue with the Goyim. Or hafti tzedek liyashiv min hogen shel Yisrael, shenahagu shloik advar, a particular minig, that you don't follow the Goyim, I'm going to give a reason why we don't follow the Goyim. With all the gavels of the Goyim, he says, shemois kat moinim like, come on, there's no one like him. For generations, there's no one like him. But you know what? We see it differently. I'm going to try to explain why we see it differently. So I want to show you over here, Rabbeinu Shaya, we have over here Rabbeinu Shaya Detrani. We have over here Rabbeinu Shaya Detrani. So I want you to understand something. Shal Teshuva said, we know there's something called Toisus Arid. Toisus Arid. Toisus Arid, Rosh Hashanah, is Rabbeinu Shaya Detrani is in Italy. The Toisus Arid was from the also early Rishonim. Toisus Arid was born in 1180. In Italy, in Trani in Italy. And he was Nifter in 1260. And just want to mention that in his time, he was the recognized leader of Italian Jewry of the generation. The Vishaya Ditrani, the Rid, Reshu Dalla, the Rid, was a recognized Godel. As a matter of fact, he received Shilas from all parts of Italy and from Germany, the Rid. And it was interesting to point out that the following, that the Maram Rottenberg, okay, Maram Rottenberg, who was considered to be the greatest, says that the decisions of the Rid of Rav Shai Detrani, he says, have the same authority as Rabbeinu Gershon Maragoyla, who was one of the early greats, as Rabbeinu Gershon Maragoyla. This was said by, they said the Maram Rottenberg. And also, I just want to mention that the Rambam and the Rosh mentioned his opinion many times of Rav Shai Detrani. Now look what Rav Shai Detrani writes. The Shal Teshuvas Arid. Someone asked the Mishaila. Mashi Kosav writes Rav Shai Detrani. Anybody who learned Tosis, you have Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. These are the most frequently mentioned. The Ri says and the Rabbeinu Tam says. The Ri says Rabbeinu Tam. The Ri is known as Rabbi Yitzchak HaZotn. The Bishai Detrani, apparently that particular tshuva, he argues with the Ri. Balotosis, with the Ri. So Bishai says, apparently the Shoel, the person who asked the Shoel, how are you arguing with the Ri? How are you, Reb Shaya? How are you arguing with the Ri? So answers Reb Shaya, what you're saying, Shalei Echlek al Rabbeinu Yitzchak HaZokim, Cholilu Limen Lishmoy al Asazois. God forbid I should listen to you. In other words, I should agree with the Ri. If I don't agree, he says, Ki Zois Iti, this is my claw. Listen to this. Can you believe the next line? My position is, Shekol Dova She'ein Nere Be'einai, if I don't agree with something, Afilo I Omra Yeshua Ben-Nun, Yeshua Ben-Nun might say that I'm not going to agree with Yeshua Ben-Nun. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say. I'm keeping medayik over here. But this is, it's half of the filler. See how far this goes. The Eini Nimna, I don't hold back Malabi Adati from expressing my opinion, Masha Nerali, here he says it's Mi Yatzichli, and yet, it's so powerful, as you can see, they will not hold back. Will not hold back, he says, even against Yeshua Benun. So it's a half of a fella. Okay, so now, Rabbi Yisai, let's go a little step further. It's on top of the sheet. The Misavik Bofer Agleim. We had here in the Mishnah, had the what? That the Tana said that a person should follow the Gedolim where they go. should associate with the Gedolim. You should absorb the dust of the feet, because if you're following them, so Mamela, so you are picking up the dust. It's an expression of following them. So we have here, interesting, that Kosu B'Sefer Eish Dos, Mitoiras Rav Moshe Yechiel Ozhar, the Ozhar Rebbe. I remember seeing him somewhat in the 50s, if she came to Toronto, Canada. And it was said about him that in Shabbos he only spoke Lashon Kodesh. He's a tremendous goyim benigla benister, and he wrote some 12, 13 volumes, literally, and, which I have. It's called Be'er Moshe. It's in all areas of Torah. Bavli, Yerushalmi, Zohar HaKodesh, everything, Medrashim, everything. Tremendous goyim he was, and a great tzaddik. And also, Sefer Eish Dos also as well, Sefer called Eish Dos. And he said the following interpretation. You see, every two, three lines we have here. Have a misavik bofer agleim. So you know what that means? He says, he said, the Mishnah here is telling us, the chiyuv is not just to learn from Talmid Chachamim, just even to sit at the same table with them. Just to keep their company. Even if all you're doing is just keeping company with Talmid Chachamim. Lishtadi lehimotzi tomed bechavaroso. Why? The etzem fact that you are in their company, your tzeres, it creates avira shel Torah. We'll call it avira zuel Torah, and you absorb that. Have misavik bavra glayim means simply to bask, to be with them. Right? You're absorbing some of the dust, meaning that you're side by side with them. No different Torah at all, even if that's the case. Just the mere fact to be with Talmid Chachamim. Talmid Chachamim creates an avir of Kedusha, and if you're in that area, you're in that atmosphere, you absorb that. You absorb that level of Kedusha. That's another pshat. That's what the Yosha Rebbe said. Have a misavik, brofa, ragleim. So I want to show you, finally, I want to show you over here, which the Sefer HaHoyrus Nosson brings in Pekyovitz Perik Vov, a few lines of the Chuvah of Kivegan. I want to make a small agdome. There, the Shoyl, the person who asked the Shoyl, writes for Kivegan. And it's apparent from Kiva Eger's response that that person really wrote disrespectfully against, talking about Rishonim, talking about the early G'dayla Yisrael. And Kiva Eger here really gives him a Musa Shmus, and he says to him the following words. I mean, the words of Rabbi Kiva Eger. I have to be very careful when you're trying to write and trying to say something which might be not the fikavodim of the earlier generations. And he said the following. He says, "Kiyotze b'zeh motzin Rabbi Kiva Eger zal v'shal tshuvas the tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger chelikal of siman unay shekoyse la'shoyel." Kiva Eger writes the following. Ra'isiv kemis lahaleya. I saw that you are sort of like mocking. Yoyrezikim, you're like shooting arrows. Negadivra b'sein rishayim. That's what appears from your letter. The letter appears that you have sort of a zilzal. You have sort of a zilzal towards our great rishayim. The rogaz v'sochak. It's a tough over here. It should be a ches. I looked it up in the record. It's sort of like you're getting angry or you're mocking al imrisei makdoshim. Ve'ein nachas, there's no nachas. U'miyitain halavai said Kiveger that by magdish itosela, the time that you're taking, to write bezilzel, to write in a way that's sliding their covet, you would take the time more to really go deeper and to try to understand what they're saying. You don't really understand what they're saying. You'd be magdish your time. You'd better make use of your time. Ashobehen yoga limsoi, the time that you are using, limsoi toyein olach, like the time that you're using to find an excuse to argue, should use that time el hayegiyev or omal to put in your koyches and your effort lehaven es kitzei devrayim, even to understand the edge, right? You understand something or huamukim rachovim, to understand the very deep, broad words. Sari ma'oid writes to Bikiveger. It pains me a lot. Shebechol devarov, in everything that you're writing, you're mezalzel against the Rishonim, so I look what you have to say. So it pains me, says Shebechol devarov, in everything that you wrote, which you're saying, v'masosei gam echa, didn't find one thing, ashi yeroi leheshev olof. There's nothing worth that he should even respond to. Right? And there's mefalpul with you, he says. And at the end, Rabbi Kiveger, being Kiveger, was givaldi gaon of at the same time, and he doesn't want to hurt anybody. So after giving that Musar, he says, Eile divre mecheyach lechochem. He calls the other person a chochem yet. These are the words of the one who is giving a little Musar to a chochem. Me'ahava musteris. It's a hidden ahava. Even on the outside it isn't. You can't see the ahava. But I want you to know it's coming out of love. A hidden ahava. He says, Ki yecham levovo ikeish boyeris. He says, somehow, he says, you became so excited, like a fiery, right? Like a burning fire. Altito ledivri rabbi seinu akad moinim katev sereres. You are like showing rebellion against our great rishonim. Well, man heyoso lemaskeres, I want this should be a maskeres, you should always remember. Lehovin shedatom rechove vedatenu niveres. In other words, niveres maskeres. You should remember that our minds are limited. Our minds are foolish, datenu. Their minds are rechova, datenu neveres, like ishbar lo yovin, ishbar lo yovin. But we are really foolish. Oz, if you really think of what I'm saying, you konal levovoi, you will become humbled. Losum piske rishoinum, to take the psokim of the rishoinum l'roishoi, you're making a crown on your head, instead of being mezalzlit, belittling it. The tachlis hanirzal zeh, that's my tachlis of writing to you, he says. That to educate you how the attitude towards Rishonim with Gevaldik Yikovit. Hine bo kol divrei zois ageres. That was the proof, that was the tachlis of my letter. So he says, V'hoyo im yikach amoroi, if you accept my words, V'yitzpenei b'libai, you right? Lo'ad l'mishmeres, you always keep it forever. Oz ech tamatmit, so then I sign, o'yehavoy mechabdoi. Then I started your friend who's machabed you. You accept my words. These are the words of Rabbi Akiva Yair. So there's something number four you can teach yourself if you'd like, which also goes on Rabbi Chaim Volozhin again, of how that he had a Kabbalah from the Goy in Ish Mipish, that if he really believes in a psak, then he should not hold back. Okay, we're talking about great people like Rabbi Chaim. But the opponent of Rabbi Akiva Yair did not like the way. But Rabbi Chaim also said, I have a misavik ba'ofar aglayim. You have to do the gavalik dercheres. That's nothing. So our components to this, we see Rabbi Akiva Yair, how he admonished that person to not have the proper attitude towards Gedol Yisrael. So talking about about Gedolim, about basking in their, right, in the dust of their feet, and as we said before, even just to associate with them, how much we can absorb from them, how much we can learn from them. everybody is aware of, I've heard about Zalman Sirotskin. Zalman Sirotskin was Nifter in 1966, actually. One of the great people, a great spokesman for the Jewish world. Also, Mechaber, the Sefer Naim LaTorah, went on the Chumash. He had two sons, at least. One of them was Reb Sol Sirotskin, and the other one was Reb Baruch Sirotskin. Sol Sirotskin was one of the youngest sons of Reb Zalman Sirotskin, and he died at the age of 47. Rabbi Yisrael Sirotskin died at the age of 47, and this Rabbi Yisrael, who was 47 years old, the son of Rabbi Zalman, happened to be quite a renowned Talmud Chacham, Choshev Talmud Chacham. He was a dayan in Tel Aviv, and he was a magishir in the Lomz Yeshiva in Petah Tikva. So he actually wore a lot of hats. He was an Odom Choshev Moed. Odom Choshev Moed. He died at 47, so he leaves basically four children, and among them, one son called Mechoil. When I met talk about him, Mechoil, he went to time of 13 and a half, just over the Bar Mitzvah. He became Bar Mitzvah. Rabbi Yisrael, who died, as we said, he had an older brother, Rabbi Sirotskin, was a Shivan Tells in Cleveland. So, so Baruch, being that he's an uncle, and the Mechoil is already over Bar Mitzvah, it's time to find a yeshiva for him. So Mela, so Mechoil's mother said, why we go looking for this yeshiva, that yeshiva? You have an uncle, Mechoil Rosh Yeshiva of Tels. So we're going to see to it that you go to America. From Eretz Yisrael, you go to America. And she felt that this would be the wisest thing to send the boy to his uncle. Send him to America, to his illustrious uncle, Rabbi Sirotskin. In fact, the Rotskin family were very close. And she was sure that Rabbi would not only be a Rebbe to him, but also be a father figure. So Kach Havid is the way it was. So Mechor Tzach, he leaves to America. He's there basically for a number of years. And becomes like a very beloved to Rabbi and to the family, and so on. After that, he goes on for another yeshivas, but he still remained, Rabbi still was in contact with this Rabbi Mechor. In 1979, Rabbi's family, he was the uncle, right? Rabbi was the uncle, suggested a girl from Cleveland as a shidduch for Mechoil. a shidduch from Cleveland. That's what tells us. Shidduch from Cleveland as a shidduch from Mechoel. And Takeda became engaged, and the wedding was scheduled to be held in the early summer. That's the way it was. The Kala's father was a yid by the name of Avram Freund. I remember that yid. He's a Heimish yid. He's a big Satmar Chusid. Didn't have a beard. But a real Haim Shayid. The Freund Mishpoche was very, very bakant. Freund Mishpoche. Freund Shayid when the Gaboyim and Satmar still. So the, interesting how Litvisher became a Chosen by Echte Ungar Shayid. Ravon Freund was very close to the Satmar Rebbe. So Mechoel went to Brooklyn to receive a bracha from the Rebbe. After all, his Kala's father is very close to the Satmar Rebbe. So before a Chasene, before he said goodnight, so he goes to the Rebbe, not to ask a bracha. And the Rebbe was told of the wedding. The Rebbe said, why are you waiting so long? Make it earlier. Why are you waiting so long? So make it earlier. No one made anything of the comment. But a few months later, it's like you say, the words come to haunt you. Ma'aseh Shoraya, because at that time, Mechoel's mother in Eretz Yisrael was diagnosed with mamish with a life-threatening illness. Mechoel's mother, he had lost his father. Father was died at 47. And now Mechoel's mother, diagnosed with a serious illness. So she planned to come to the United States to attend the wedding in Cleveland. Sunday morning, 1 week before the Chasana. Okay? Hold the Cheshem. Sunday morning, 1 week before the Chasana. So Mechoel calls his mother. He wants to wish her a safe trip because she's coming. She's coming to Cleveland to the Chasana. But he was informed that she would just rush to the hospital. It's a week before the wedding. She rushed to the hospital. And sadly and unexpectedly, she passed away a few hours later. It's a week before the Chasana and he has to sit Shiva. So there was, you can understand, there was great turmoil. Should Mechoel go to the Chasana? Because if you go to the Chasana, he starts sitting Shiva. It's at the funeral, they have to start sitting Shiva later. Start sitting Shiva later, then the Shiva goes into the Chasana date. Maybe you should not go to the funeral. His own mother should not go to the funeral. So what's it? Or should they postpone the wedding? Should they postpone the wedding? What should they do? So Lamai said, they tried to ask opinions here and there, but they asked Rav Moshe. What to do. Rav Moshe said that Mechoel, don't go to the Chasana. You stay, don't go to the funeral. Don't go to Eretz Yisrael. Stay in Cleveland, don't go to the funeral. Because the halacha is, by the way, if you don't go, you can sit Shiva right away. You don't normally avail the stars after the Kvura. But if the Kvura is in a different, city, in a different place, and you're not going, you start Shiva right away. People understand, when you go to the cargo, right? They take a nifta to Eretz Yisrael. Right? So those who are there would start Shiva basically after the Kvura. But those who remain behind, they start right away. So Moshe said, don't go to the funeral. Touch Shiva in Shiva right now. And then later he says, by next Sunday morning, the Shiva will be over. And get married that night as planned. That was the answer Moshe gave him. So on Friday of the Shiva, Friday is still Shiva day. So this Mechoel calls Moshe again to give him some guidelines. He said, various halachas that might have a shaykhis to a chosen being married immediately after the Shiva. So any they have to know. And Chosin, let's get married, meet after Shiva, may have to know. So Moshe spent time with him, going through every detail, whatever it was, and he wishes him well, and a good Shabbos. A few minutes later, he said, the phone rings again, he says, and this is Moshe, it's a person-to-person call, which means it's very important call. What was so important? I'm frightened, Moshe is calling him back. What's important that Moshe is calling him? And Moshe says, I apologize, says the Moshe, says, I'm sorry for disturbing you. He says, but there's one thing I meant to tell you. I forgot to tell you Friday when you were asking me guidelines about the chosen. It's a custom in America that a chosen buys the kala flowers for Shabbos kala. You're sitting Shiva, you're not going to be able to do it. So I want to remind you, it's an important thing to do, see that somebody arranged to buy flowers for the kala. That was Rav Moshe Rabbeinu Zayin. As an oval, you yourself also can't buy a gift. You can't do it either while sitting Shiva. And then I suggest that you get a friend to buy. That's what I have in the Savik Buffer Aglayim. You associate with Gedolei Yisrael. It does not mean different Torah Dafke, but every aspect, every anhoge, you absorb it. And by the way, it's this type of acts that makes true greatness. That's really the greatness of the person. It's not just Torah. It's the entire person, the entire being. Halavai, you may have to emulate a little bit of that. Okay.